All right. Good evening, everyone. I call the January 19th, 2022 City Council meeting to order. Tonight, we are virtual. So please, if you're hearing my voice now, you can log on. You can go on to the City Council website at warwickri.gov, select the City Council, and you can see the options to join us this evening on Zoom. The options are available there. You can click the link to join the webinar. You can also call. There are multiple numbers to call on there. All this information is on our website and it's on the agenda. So go on to the City Council January 19th, 2022 agenda, and you will find the information to join us via Zoom this evening. At this time, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Yeah.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinappi?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. At this time, I'm going to ask Councilman Howe to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Our guest this evening, it was going to be one of our speakers, is not feeling well. So we're going to have him come back at another time. So if Councilman Howe can lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we will have the national anthem play after.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. And I just want to make special mention to our MIS staff, Phil and Chris, for taking care of this for us. This was an adjustment. We were back in person. Now we're back on Zoom. This is as a result of the executive order from the governor's office. No decision has been made for the February meetings. So stay tuned for that. But thank you to our great staff who's making sure that everyone can participate in the meeting this evening. Unless there's some objection, I would like to do general communications before we start with our executive communications. Is there any objections to doing general communications at this time from the council? Okay, hearing none, I have a few. First, I would just like to congratulate Congressman Langevin and thank him for his service to our city, our state, and our country. He served many years, over 30 years as an elected official, 20 years in Congress. And I work with members of Congress every day. That is a tough job and it's only getting tougher. So I just want to thank the congressman, a Warwick resident. So we're always proud when people from Warwick go on and do big things. And I know he's looking forward to coming back to the state and hopefully the city. And it won't be the last that we've heard from the congressman, but I just wanted to take a minute and thank him for his great service to our city. I also want to welcome our new fire class. On Friday, we sworn in over 20 new firefighters.
Men and women are joining the best fire department in the state. So we are proud to have them here. It's the first class that we've had in over 6 years. So I think it's always good to bring on some new blood, get some young people out there, you know, and so you'll see some new faces in our community, and we're proud to have them. And I wish them nothing but health and happiness, and thank you, not just to the new firefighters, but all of our fire and police and people that are they're serving the public every single day. So congratulations to the new fire class. And finally, I just wanted to touch on a big project that happens to be in Ward 7 in Appanag that the mayor announced, and I was proud to be a part of that. We're not at City Hall tonight, but if we looked out the window, that building, the annex building, is no longer there. And the mayor has a grand plan of building a new ice rink there. But it's also going to be open space. We're going to have lots of different projects. I'm thrilled. I've been working with the Appanag Village Association for years. We're always looking to turn Appanag into that village community. And we'd love to have it like East Greenwich and Wickford. And this is a big, big start. So this is not just going to be an outdoor ice rink where we use a couple months out of the year. This is going to be a year-round facility where members of the public can bring their families. It's going to be a fun and safe place. Again, you're going to have your skating, but there's also going to be concerts there, food trucks, roller skating, dances, volleyball, pickleball, bumper cars, all are going to go along with this beautiful area. We're going to do a lot of landscaping. We're already putting a brand new playground, which this city council voted for early last year. Behind the ball field. So there'll be a beautiful playground to go along with that. It's going to be a new center for the city. And I'm really excited. More of this to come. This will come. Different parts may come before the city council, but please reach out to your council members with any more ideas or concerns or questions. But we're excited about this project. And I look forward to seeing it start and seeing it complete. So that's all I have. It looks like we have a few council members that have something for general communications. Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you, Council President. I want to echo your sentiments for Congressman Langevin. We're certainly owe him a debt of gratitude for his service. I wanted to make one other announcement that you may have seen in the Beacon. The Warwick Land Trust is holding some community meetings about the potential for future investment in open space. The first meeting is this coming Monday at the Warwick Public Library at 6 p.m. That'll also be on Zoom as our meeting here tonight is. So just want to give a plug for that and just say thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. And thank you to Congressman Langevin for his service. And thank you to the 23 new firefighters who were sworn in. And congratulations to them as well. My announcement is that the Tax Relief Commission, consistent with the enabling legislation passed by this City Council, is going to be resuming meetings shortly. I would intend as chair to hold a couple of meetings in each month of February, March, and April as necessary. Generally, those meetings would be on the week opposite the City Council meetings on that same day. That is as scheduling will allow with the slots that are available for the Zoom meetings through the city, as well as making sure that we try to avoid conflicts with scheduling with, say, the planning board, zoning board, and the like. We may also, especially if there is availability, and especially if the COVID-19 situation improves, try to have some public meetings in person at venues such as the library. And in those situations, see if we can have it, say, on a weekend, as opposed to having the meetings all be on the Monday nights opposite the city council meetings. So I wanted to make that general announcement here as well, so that if any member of the council or other appointee to that tax relief commission has scheduling conflicts or notices something where there may be a scheduling conflict for a major event in Warwick, please reach out to me so that we can try to make sure that these meetings are happening at the times that are most convenient for the members of the public, first and foremost, but also so that we can get sufficient attendance from the members and designees of the commission so that we may have a quorum. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Ricks. At this time, I just want to give a quick update on where we are on the agenda. We are moving back to executive communications. So for those that are following from home, we are going to have Peter Schaefer, the city finance director, is going to give us a report on the city finances. Our second guest, unfortunately, is under the weather, so you'll not be able to join us. So then we will go right to the Warwick School Committee and the Warwick School Department for their presentation. So first, Peter Schaefer is going to talk about the city finances, and then the school department is going to give us some options how to spend those finances. So Mr. Schaefer.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I did this last year in January, mid-year update on where we are. And we've really been working on this since the end of the first quarter, end of September, and making updates as we go along. My one caution is most of this was completed before we had the onset of the, is it the third wave or the fourth wave? I don't remember, but it's too bad. And I don't see anything right now that really changes that. And when we come out with the budget in the May, we'll have an updated figure as to what our estimates are for the current year operations. But in general, the projections are very favorable. And this assumes some things like energy costs other than electricity increasing 50% from the baseline. You know what's happened to fuel prices. Fortunately, we have a locked in electrical rate through December 31st, 2022. So that has not affected us. But looking at revenues, good reports from the assessor and the collector. Neil believes that the abatement amount that was budgeted, we're not going to get even close to that. So we're looking at some enhancement over what we estimated on property taxes. We have one loss on state aid relating to motor vehicle reimbursements. And if you see the speaker around, you can talk to him about it. I'd like to have a discussion with him about it. But it's a complicated technical formula. And right now it looks like we're not going to get what we estimated in that area. But other areas have improved. The licenses and fees, because we were coming out of the pandemic, have improved. Appeared to be improving from the baseline. This is the area where I'm most cautious because of the fourth wave here. Those are the positives, so that it really looks like we're close to $2 million over on revenue in our estimate. The real surprise has been on our expenses, which despite some unforeseen things like having to buy those two sanitation trucks, we see really our personnel expenses lower than expected. And part of it is a very conservative decision-making process by the mayor in terms of filling positions, but also difficult to recruit. We haven't been able to get the police officers that I know that the chief would like to get. So it's been a tough recruiting period in this environment. And that's also affected employee benefits. Our health benefits are running well below what was expected, which was a 5% per unit cost reduction from adoption of the trust's health insurance plan. But we're monitoring that pretty carefully. And it appears that we're going to have a pretty significant surplus there. So The bottom line is we had a budget, including schools, of $333 million of expenses. We think it's going to be a little under $327 million. That assumes that the school department is all right. And they've got some late federal aid. We have a new school business manager there, just been there a month, who seems to be on top of things. So I'm comfortable we're all there. We're going to be meeting in the next couple of weeks to go over that in more detail. So when we passed the budget, the 22 budget, we assumed we were going to use $5.5 million in ARPA funds. We assumed we were going to have to use $5.9 million in fund balance. And it appears now, based upon our projections, that we won't have to draw on fund balance, and that will only be about half the amount we will have to use of ARPA funds to support some of our operating costs, and which we qualify for based upon revenue loss classification. So, and that's summarized on the third page of the table, we expect a good year in 22. We're starting to work on 23. What all happens there? We still have reserved a lot of ARPA funds, which I know the mayor wants to pledge to infrastructure. There's some flexibility on some other things, and you'll have that presentation in May, and it may be that the council, I know that the mayor wants the council involved in this, and you may have something earlier to public hearings or whatever on the different options for in your neighborhoods for use of ARPA funds. It's my interpretation of the charter, and I've discussed this with the solicitor, and you can certainly talk to Billy about it. That really we have, there are some places that are going through separate ordinances to obligate their ARPA funds. And my reading of the charter is they really have to do it through the normal budget process, unless it's an emergency item. And, you know, long-term pledges for infrastructure or really don't meet the emergency test. And I think it's been infrequently used, but if there was some crisis associated with the pandemic that we need to act on immediately, I believe we could use that provision. But it's the thrust of what we're working on now is trying to incorporate the ideas that the mayor has, the ideas that the council has, into the total budget package for utilization. Remember, we've got $39.4 million entitlement and ARPA funds. We pledged $10 million to sewer and water. We've even spent some of the sewer money on the Bayside project. I think the water department's going to come to you with a contract very soon for the water main near Route 37. Phil and Brad Connor are working on different issues with regards to the broadband initiative. So those things are underway, and we're looking at other things that are priorities of the city to pledge those funds to. The second thing I want to talk about, and you're probably going to ask me why I'm doing this, but you've got a package. The state is after us on this. And Governor Raimondo had an initiative a few years ago called the Transparency Portal, the Municipal Transparency Portal. And all communities were required to report their financial information on a consistent and comparable basis. And the state really encouraged us also to prepare our budgets on that same basis. We are one of two cities that hasn't, on the budgetary basis, approved budget, has not complied with that. Most places, your neighbors in Cranston, Providence, Pawtucket, Newport, I'm not sure what others, East Providence, allocate all their employee benefits to each department. So if you look at the fire department or the building code commission, all the employee benefits associated with the employees assigned there are in that department. We're one of two cities And I haven't looked at all the Exeters of the world, but I of the city, we're just Warwick and Woonsocket still do not allocate the benefits. So you can't really, if you wanted to pick up the Cranston budget and compare the building department in Warwick with Cranston, difficult to do. Although what we do for financial reporting purposes, Lynn the treasurer and Jason the controller have a method for allocating those costs in our financial report. But the budget that you all see is not done that way. And I've had discussions with the council president, the mayor, the chairman of the finance committee about possibly switching. I see both sides of this, and I don't see any high priority for it. But it would be helpful for me to say to the state, my city doesn't have appetite for this. We like it the way it is. But I would change it if anyone wanted to. If any councilman wants to docket something to require a change, I don't think the mayor would object. I wouldn't object. The first year you do it is going to be a problem because you're going to have to restate the prior year. It's when errors happen. And I really think we've got such a focus this next year on what's happened with our pensions, which has been great in terms of the funding levels. What we want to do is, I talked earlier in the finance committee on OPEB, the savings that we've got on health benefits. I think it's helpful to look at those things in an isolated way, which gets lost when you spread it around, if you spread all the costs to each of the departments. So right now, I'm not trying to make any plan. I welcome anyone who wants to talk to me about it or docket something to do it the other way. But right now, I say we'll stick with Woonsocket and do it the way we've been doing it now. I'm ready to change if you want to. I hope you look through the package that I sent you. I know it's a lot of pages. And you can look. There's one column that shows the budget we approved, say for the building department. And then the next column to the right is what it would have been if we allocated all the employee benefit costs. Now, I know I don't see Jason, the deputy chief from the fire department here. I know he would love it if we made this switch, because when we have a lot of overtime in the fire department, it lurks worse than it really is, because it means that we were understaffed in terms of filling people in regular time. And we're getting a lot of savings in health benefits in those departments when you're short-staffed, but you don't see that because we don't allocate the benefits. So I see both sides of this, but right now, I don't plan to make a change. The mayor doesn't see it as a priority, but I'm happy to listen to you on it. And I do hope you'll look through the package I sent you and you'll get a feel for what the difference would be. The third thing, and we've covered most of this, you've already approved the resolution, or it's on the docket for the finance committee has approved the resolution authorizing participation with the Ryan Untuckle Trust. I told you, and I will be back to you in the first meeting in February for a change in pension actuaries to do our OPEB calculation and to help us work with coming up a plan that merges our liabilities relating to pensions, which we had such extraordinary investment performance that we now have the three active plans all at 89.5% funded or higher. One's at 93, another's at 98%. It's only the old police and fire, which has a declining beneficiary. So I think we've got this opportunity to use some of the resources that have been pledged toward pension while still making our annual required contribution. That's not an issue, but freeing up a little wiggle room to try to start addressing OPEB. The last thing I just want to mention, I was hoping to say to you, click on the finance page of your website and you can see the 21 audit. I can't say that. I talked to our, and it's really, the numbers I gave you in October are really essentially unchanged. It's just some little things really relating to state reporting, and especially the school district and some federal funds. But the audit manager, our firm, we talked with her today, and she was comfortable in my telling you that the certified statements will be available next week. So we're real close. Let me just refresh your memory on where we are. You know, budgetary operating surplus of $3.8 million. The general fund balance is increased by $2.8 million, and it's or 9.2%. The unassigned general fund balance, $26.6 million, which is 8.2% of fiscal year budgeted expenditures. We were over budget on year-end revenues. We were way over budget on property taxes, really, thanks to the tax sale at the end of the year, which was a, you know, sometimes a lot of people didn't want to go down that path, but it was important. Obviously, we're still under budget from what was originally approved a year and a half ago in the hospitality associated revenues, but other things like the building permit fees, real estate transfer taxes, and the like made up for it even more than we thought when we passed the budget in May. So those are the main things I wanted to talk about, and you will have, and I'll make sure that Joanne gets you the link to the certified financial statements when they're ready, almost certainly next week.
Thank you very much, Director. And I just, again, want to flag this, that this is something that this council and this administration has done. And again, I've been on the council 5 years, and we've never done it until this council and this administration is having the finance director come up to us and give us updates on snapshots, where we're at during the budget process, not just waiting once a year when we pass a budget. So I thank you for providing this information. If any city council members or any members of the public have any questions, they can reach out to the mayor's office with that, or reach out to your council person with any specific questions, and we will get that information for you. So I thank you very much, Director, for your time. Up next, again, I had mentioned we were going to have someone from CCAP give us a presentation. Unfortunately, he is not feeling well this evening, so he's unable to join us, but we will have him back at another time. So at this time, I would like to introduce for a presentation by the Warwick School Committee and the Warwick School Department regarding school construction. So just for everyone's information here, is that this is going to be a presentation from the Warwick School Department on a proposal that they will be coming to the City Council for. So this is just informational only, just like the information received from Mr. Schaefer. If any council people or members of the public have any questions after the presentation, they can reach out to the school administration after the meeting for that information. So I don't know. I know the superintendent is on. I see that the chairwoman of the school committee is on. I want to thank you all for joining us virtually. But whoever would like to kick it off, I yield the floor.
Good evening, Chairman and City Council. We have our presentation that has been presented to some of the community that via our YouTube meeting and in person. And we know that you'd like to share it with you now. It's from Secocio, and they are our architects on the new school buildings. And we understand we're having a meeting in February on this. So, you know, we'd like you guys to watch it and to marinate for a while for that meeting and come up with questions so we can work together cohesively on this and hopefully get this on the ballot. So at this point, I'd like to introduce the Secocio firm.
Hi, it's Mark Sicoccio from Sicoccio & Associates. We're here with our partners from SOM Architects, Katie, who's been our resident presenter. We'll be walking you through the model school. So the whole concept of what we've been doing is basically doing a model school. So a typical school that would be modified slightly for each of the two sites being Pilgrim and Tollgate. So we'll walk you through the model concept school, and then we'll show each of the different site plans for the two different sites. As you had said, this is an introductory first run through for this. We look forward to our meeting. I think it's on the 7th of February. So I will turn it over to Katie.
Awesome, thank you. Okay, so if you can all see my screen, well, you can see the cover page. Okay. On behalf of the team listed here who are responsible for the development of the design, we wanted to thank you for the opportunity to present the Warwick Comprehensive Model High School project tonight. Through our presentation, we will review the following items, starting with the adjacency diagram developed during visioning. Next, the model school concept diagram showing the organization of from which both Pilgrim and Tollgate High Schools originated. We'll show you the proposed site plans for the Pilgrim and Tollgate sites, as well as the overall floor plan diagrams. The visual permeability diagrams show the design's clear sight lines, which enhance views to the outdoors and security of the building. Next, we will look at a series of diagrams showing how the building's designed with safety and security in mind, as well as the community event usage of the buildings. Finally, we've illustrated both the interior and the exterior with a series of perspective views, as well as an animation video to walk you through the model high school. So this is the adjacency bubble diagram developed by our educational planning consultant together with the schools at the visioning sessions in the spring of 2019. With the 21st century learning approach, decentralized departments and groupings of different classroom types form small learning community clusters like you see here. Traditional learning areas are integrated with flexible extended learning areas, administrative spaces, teacher planning centers, and support spaces. Because we are creating two comprehensive high schools, the small learning communities also integrate career tech classrooms or CTC programming. The public versus the student use spaces are defined and zoned for safety and security. As another reminder, this is the original concept diagram we first presented at our meeting with RIDE in August. This matrix here outlines the comments made by RIDE at this meeting, which included coherent wayfinding, optimal building orientation, equity and identity, programmable circulation, and a superior school culture. Throughout stage two, we've been actively working to refine the original concept diagram into a project that further responds to RIDE's comments. In doing so, we presented this list of corresponding design considerations to RIDE in November, which outline the major goals of the project. And those include the economy of structure, space, materials, and an equitable model school approach, environmental design, including sustainability, clarity of circulation through planning, adaptability and flexibility.
Kicked off the meeting, which she shouldn't have.
With future change, sorry. Thank you. Clarity of circulation through planning, adaptability and flexibility with future change in mind, and the building experience through visual permeability. The development of a model school has been adapted to both site locations. At Pilgrim, we've sited the new building to the east, which borders the adjacent commercial context. As a reference, you can see the demolished existing school building outline dashed in red. The parking is set back from Pilgrim Parkway, establishing a generous landscape buffer between the residential neighborhood, as well as serving as a bioretention zone and acoustical barrier. The vehicular traffic plan is designed for peak high volume traffic with maximum flexibility and adaptability for current, future, and occasional traffic patterns. Parallel bus and car drop-off lanes and three drop-off locations at the three building entrances reduce pedestrian travel distances and disembarkation time. The stadium and sports fields are linked to the gymnasium entrance to the west of the site, and all sports fields are oriented optimally relative to the sun path. At Tollgate, the building is mirrored and placed on the higher elevation, while the stadium is placed at the lower elevation of the site. The existing restaurant building will be reused as both CTC and athletic support spaces. We have developed a two-story building, and here we are showing the overall first floor plan diagram. As Mark explained, Pilgrim is being used to illustrate the model high school. So aside from mirroring the building, variations in the tollgate plans mainly include the differing CTC programs. The model school building is organized around this central spine we are calling the boulevard, serving as circulation space as well as occupied by the learning and dining commons. We see the boulevard as an active public space with visual and physical connections to adjacent programs and the outdoors. There are three small learning communities on the first floor to the east and the gymnasium and auditorium to the west. You'll see the colorful composition of the small learning communities that is reminiscent of the early visioning bubble diagram, bringing together different departments. The light blue extended learning areas are multi-purpose collaborative learning spaces open to all departments, which encourage additional cross-curricular engagement between classrooms. There are three more small learning communities on the second floor, as well as additional programming at the gymnasium. The classrooms are oriented to the ideal north-south building orientation, maximizing the quality of light for learning. As a model school designed with adaptability and flexibility in mind, the academic wings can expand or contract as needed to accommodate the differing CTC offerings at the two high schools. These plan diagrams have been formed based on the RIDE dictated quantities and allowances, as well as user input. During planning and for coordination with the users, the learning space capacity information layered here identifies the type of learning space by its student capacity and tallies the maximum quantity of students that can be housed in all the learning spaces at one time. These diagrams explore the extent to which the building is designed with visual permeability in mind. We have identified visual permeability as the clear sight lines from the indoors to the outdoors, labeled external, as well as from one indoor space to another, labeled internal. In addition to the windows along the perimeter, the green arrows show the direct or indirect visual connection of the indoors with the outdoors, allowing access to natural daylighting and views of the sky, clouds, and trees is an experience called biophilia, which when exposed to supports the mental health, productivity, and social emotional learning of building occupants. The blue arrows demonstrate where the safety and security from staff and faculty occupied spaces overlooking student and public spaces is maximized. With straight sight lines, we are designing with clarity of wayfinding to enhance safety and to deter bullying. Additionally, the blue circles show where there are vertical visual connections from one floor to the other. Along with in-depth security coordination, the next two diagrams illustrate how we've planned for safe areas in the building through function and materials. Here on level one, for example, areas of shelter are provided in the public spaces of the learning and dining commons of the boulevard. On both levels, you can see the shadow zones highlighted within the classrooms where groups of students are protected from activity outside the classrooms. By nature of the material, the masonry egress stairs also act as areas of refuge. We are studying ways that these safe zones can be integrated into the interior design as safety wayfinding, perhaps by assigning a certain safe color to walls and floors that double as areas of refuge. We expect the comprehensive schools to house community events as well. This next series of diagrams show how different zones in the building can be used while the others are securely closed off. This diagram shows the areas that are accessible during an event in the gymnasium, namely the public portions of the boulevard, the public toilets, and the gymnasium areas, while the secure access points are circled in red. For second floor gymnasium use, there is direct access from the gym entrance to the walking track stairs. Outside of event use, the walking track stairs is a strong community asset that can be used locally beyond the student population. For an event in the boulevard, there are similar secure access points at the small learning communities and the egress stair doors, doors which would typically remain open during the school day. Similarly, while typically open, a roll-down shutter provides security of the gymnasium from an event in the boulevard, while still providing access to the centrally located public toilets. For an event in the auditorium, there are similar security measures as mentioned previously, as well as additional access to public toilets provided in the main entrance lobby. This is an aerial view of the building from the southeast. The three volumes to the east are the academic wings, housing the six small learning communities. The gymnasium volume to the west relates to the sports fields beyond. The auditorium is also to the west, defining a prominent corner of the building. And connected to the main entrance, the boulevard runs through the middle, linking the programs on the east and the west. We have focused on the economy of materials for efficiency and panelization of the facade. The first floor is composed of large format masonry as the base with punched windows. The second floor is composed of a rain screen system with segments of glass, photovoltaics, metal, and fiber cement panels. The entry to the new school is clearly defined by the intersection of three basic massing elements: the first floor base, the second story facade, and the auditorium. The geometric composition of the three building masses creates a well-protected entrance, eliminating the need for costly architectural components such as a canopy. The composition of materials further defines the entrance, clearly signaling where to enter from all angles of approach. We've coordinated the facade modules with the structural grid of the building for flexibility and adaptability. We regulated the floor-to-floor heights at 14 feet throughout so that a CTC classroom can be swapped with a general classroom space, for example, without interrupting the overall design or the facade. PV panels have a 25 to 30 year warranty, and with the removal of six machine screws, can easily be repaired or replaced. While they're integrated within several small learning communities, we are showing ways of connecting programs like art, CTC, science, and other core academics. In this exterior perspective, you can see the use of the courtyard space between small learning communities for outdoor cross-curricular engagement. The 720-seat auditorium provides space for both music and theater productions. It is simple, accessible, and also functions as a teaching space. It uses wood, glass, and masonry materials for their biophilic and acoustic properties. Visibility to the gymnasium is shown in this perspective view from the boulevard through the Hall of Fame entrance and into the gymnasium. Decentralized administrative conference rooms are accessible from the public zone of the dining commons and can serve as flexible meeting spaces with an example of additional administrative oversight to the boulevard. Like the dining commons, the learning commons are located within the boulevard with visibility to and through it. We have zoned the learning commons so that it is accessible and visible, but also contained by way of glass partitions and book stacks. The learning stair not only connects activities from the first to the second floor, but also serves as programmable circulation space. It is an extension of the more public side of the learning commons where students gather and move. This perspective view shows the visual permeability between the learning commons and the extended learning areas on both floors of the boulevard to the outdoor learning and to the exterior. This perspective view of the second floor boulevard overlooking the learning commons on the first floor. As an extension of the boulevard circulation, the clearly zoned extended learning areas also have direct connections to the exterior. Revealing the structure and exposing the makeup of its materials, we believe the building itself can serve as an object from which to learn. This interior perspective shows the concept of permeability with both exterior visibility to the outdoors and interior visibility through observational adjacencies of the level two programming. Two sides of bleachers serving 1,316 seats flank the double height volume of the gymnasium. The gymnasium's double height volume not only allows for a walking track, but also a rock climbing wall extending vertically. There is direct visual and physical access to the outdoor fitness and sports fields beyond this indoor fitness area. While activating this area, the glass also brings natural daylighting into some of the more internal gym program spaces. This final perspective view demonstrates the experience of passing through or occupying the science conservatory bridge. While science classrooms are no longer departmentalized and are spread amongst different small learning communities, the conservatory acts as another way to connect small learning communities via educational programming and biophilia. We've prepared an animation for you to walk you through more of Warwick's comprehensive model high school. Thank you. I'm just gonna switch my screen.
Great, thank you. Thank you very much. Anything that the superintendent or the school committee chair would like to add?
I would just like to say thank you for giving us the time today to show that to you. And like I said before, please marinate on that. I think it's pretty exciting. I'm sure when you were watching it, everybody's mouth was dropping a little bit, going, wow, there is a wow factor to it, but it's very much needed. And we look forward to meeting with you in a few weeks in February and discussing it.
Council President McAllister. Council President McAllister, I'd also like to add that, you know, this is the time. We have tired old high schools. We will be getting approximately 52% reimbursement on our investment in new high schools. And to go with 21st century teaching and learning, an old building is just not working. We need those collaborative spaces. We need what you saw today with the design. So I hope you support this project.
All right. Well, I thank you very much for presenting today. Again, for my colleagues and for the public, this was presentation only. We will be coming back to discuss and, you know, that was the fun part, get to see what we could do. Next time we're going to be talking how we're going to pay for it, what's the cost going to be. And as soon as we get those numbers from the school department, the finance director is going to put a presentation together. So once we get all that information, we will be discussing that in detail here at the city council, where members of the city council can ask questions, members of the public can ask questions, and our friends from the school department will be there and the administration as well. So I just wanted to give a little procedure here. So I thank everyone for participating. It was a great presentation, and give us some time to absorb all that, and we will be talking soon. So thank you very much.
Thank you again, Mr. President and the council.
Thank you. Everybody stay safe and have a great day.
Thank you.
Next up on the city council, we have now completed the executive communications. We have already done general communications. So we are moving on to number one, which is appointments requiring confirmation. There are none. So now we're going to move to the acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting held on January 3rd, 2022. For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Gephardt. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any aye. Opposed? Aye. Any objections? Okay, the minutes have been accepted. Next up this evening is public comment. Rule 41. After the general communications and prior to the consent calendar at each city council public hearing meeting, there shall be a 15-minute period during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall be 15 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City council members will not respond to questions during public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of 15 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous consent. So we are on Zoom here. So we want to open it up. This is the time for public comment. If there are any members of the public that would like to speak on City of Warwick issues, please raise your hand. All right, we have one. Do we have anybody else that would like to speak? We have one that's a phone number. We'll let them in a second. I just want to give everyone else a shot. Okay, if we can let the caller in, the last 8281.
Hi, folks. Barbara Walsh. I just wanted to say it's so nice being back saying hello via Zoom access. And I am hoping you might consider using some of the undesignated ARPA funds to continue Zoom access to many more of our citizens. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now move. There are no more public comments, no more hands raised. So we will now move, excuse me one second here, to the consent calendar. First up is PCR 14-22, a resolution relative to bids. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action on PCR 14-22.
Second by Councilman Foley, Councilman Gephardt, Councilman Lattiser. Go ahead, Councilman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2022-299, structural assessment for Venturi Avenue police radio sites. Bid 2022-196, survey work police radio sites. Bid 2022-142, purchase Taser CEW and associated equipment. Bid 2022-279, emergency equipment repair for police vehicles. Bid 2022-290, Shanix camera replacement. Bid 2016-268, internet-based system for police application and recruitment management. And bid 2022-264, food products. Bid 2022-171, five-year rate study.
Thank you very much, Chairman Howe. Are there any questions on the consent calendar that were not asked earlier this evening during the Finance Committee meeting? Okay, hearing none, I believe that is it on the consent calendar. So the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr.
McElroy? Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, consent passes.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Councilman Howe. Next up on the agenda, we move to unfinished business. First up is PCR 157-21, committee report, finance.
Favorable action with amendment.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action with amendments.
Second by Councilman Gephardt. Go ahead, Councilman, if you want to lay out the amendments.
Mr. President, I respectfully go to the solicitor, Mr. Walsh.
As would I, Councilman, Solicitor Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. President and Chairman. The committee recommended one package of amendments. It has four parts, and then I'll read in total. On page 2, line 9, we're inserting the word, after the word plan, we are inserting the word trust. On page 2, line 9, we are deleting the date of December 20th, 2021, and inserting in its place the date of January 19th, 2022. On page 2, line 16, we are inserting the number 1 before the number 6 so as to make the statutory reference be 45-15-16. And on page 2, line 16, we are removing the ing at the end of the word indemnifying in order to make it read indemnify.
Thank you very much, Mr. Walsh.
Someone move and second that amendment in total, and we're all set to go.
Okay. Do we have a motion to move that amendment?
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll on the amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howell?
Yes.
Mr. Lattison?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
And yes to amend.
Thank you. The amendment passes. Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action as amended.
Second by Councilman Foley, Councilwoman Travis. Any questions on the motion as amended? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattison?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
And yes as amended.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. The motion passes as amended. Next up is PCR 6-22, Committee Report, Finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
This was presented in committee and unanimously sent to this body for favorable action.
Correct. Are there any questions from members of the council that they did not be asked earlier this evening in committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattison?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
And yes, motion passes.
Thank you, the motion passes. Number 3 this evening is PCR 7-22, Committee Report, Finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley, Councilman Gephardt. Go ahead, Councilman. I believe this was also discussed and recommended for favorable action in committee.
Unanimously, yes, Mr.
Okay, any questions that were not asked earlier this evening in the Finance Committee? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattison?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
And yes, motion passes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. The motion passes. Number 4 this evening, PCR 8-22. Committee report, Councilman Howe.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilman Gephardt. Again, this was part of the same package that was discussed during committee earlier this evening. Councilman Howe, do you have anything to add?
Unanimously sent by the committee. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. Are there any questions on this PCR that were not asked during committee earlier this evening? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattison?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Yes, motion passes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Number six this evening is PCR 10-22, Committee Report Finance.
Favorable action?
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilman Gephardt. Any questions that were not asked earlier this evening in the Finance Committee? Hearing none, seeing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
And yes. And yes, motion passes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Next up, we're moving to new business. First up is PCO 1-22, Committee Report Ordinance.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Sinapi.
I move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Howe, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Foley. Any questions? There has been a number of people that have signed on as a co-sponsor, I believe the full council. So I just want to make note of that as well. Are there any questions or comments that were not brought up during the committee earlier this evening? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
And yes, first passage.
Thank you for first passage and congratulations, Councilman Sinapi. I know you worked hard on that. Next up is PCR 149-21, Committee Report Intergovernmental.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Foley.
Move favorable action on PCR 149-21.
Second by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Howe. Also, I'd like to make a note that the full council has also asked to be co-sponsors on this legislation as well. So thank you, Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments on PCR 149-21 that were not made earlier this evening in committee? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
And yes, motion passes.
Thank you. The motion passes and congratulations, Councilman Foley. This is a very creative and beneficial piece of legislation. So thank you for allowing all of us to be a part of it. Next up is PCR 13-22, Committee Report Intergovernmental.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Sinapi.
I move favorable action.
Second by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Howe, Councilman Foley. I also want to make a note that this is also co-sponsored by the entire City Council. So thank you, Councilman Sinapi, for allowing all of us to join on as co-sponsors. Are there any questions or comments that were not made earlier this evening in committee? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
And yes, motion passes.
Thank you very much. And again, great work, Councilman Sinapi, for looking out for your constituents. We are now moving to unanimous consent. Before we talk about PCR 1522, I have to ask the question, is there any objection to hearing PCR 15-22, which is a resolution authorizing the City Council President to appoint a committee of three council members to reappointment the wards based upon the recent census? So first question is there any objection to hearing this at this time under unanimous consent? Okay, hearing no objections, we will now hear PCR 15-22. I was the sponsor for this. We are now, as everyone knows, they're doing redistricting at the state level, and that comes down to the city level. I was not on the council when this happened 10 plus years ago. I talked to our new director of the board of canvassers and the city solicitor, and I asked that we do what's traditionally been done. So whatever we have done, the city of Warwick has done in the past on this issue, I asked that we do that. They forwarded me the legislation, which is before you this evening. It's a resolution which authorizes the city council president to appoint a committee of three council members to the reappointment of the wards based upon the recent census. So just for a quick explanation on that, that's what has traditionally been done. So that is what I brought forward. There was also a part to put some funding in there to have the census report done. We put that in the budget last year. The Board of Canvassers director who has retired put that in last year, so we did not need to add money. The money has already been allocated. We have a company who's done the work for us. So I believe I have invited our new director from the Board of Canvassers to join us this evening from the administration. This is her first city council meeting. So director, welcome. And I just want to give you the floor.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I hope you can all hear me.
Yeah, it's breaking up a little, but that might be on my end. So what we're hoping is if you could just kind of explain the situation, what's before us this evening, what the process is, and the deadline that we need to get this going here, that we're the state has a deadline for us. So one of the reasons why we put this under unanimous consent this evening.
Yes. Okay. So the Secretary of State's office obviously keeps us informed of to what's going on day to day. We received emails from Rob Rock from Secretary of State's office that stated that there was a commission that had gone forward. They do the major part of the redistricting with Kim Brace from Election Data Services. That I did watch that program last week. That did get passed through the commission. So now it goes on to the legislative department. They are going to be voting on this, I believe, in the second week of February, might be. Once they approve the lines, the districts, all of that, then it comes to us citywide. And that's why we need to build the three-person committee to help with the lines. I was told by the former director that she did speak with Kim Brace and he is on board to help us with this transition, because obviously I have never been through redistricting either, because it's once every 10 years. So I'm learning with everybody else right now as to what is supposed to be done. So I'm going back, I'm going through resolution, I'm going through files, I'm going through paperwork, anything I can figure out is what I'm doing right now. The part that needs to be done on our end, the committee needs to be formed before the middle of February. So from February, I would say 15th, through April 15th is when our lines in for wards, precincts, all have to be drawn and they have to be ready and prepared to send the file to the Secretary of State's office by April 15th. And I don't know if anybody has any questions.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah, so our role, you know, the big work gets done at the state level. We have someone that we have hired that's going to help us with our lines.
Any questions?
Very little change is expected on the ward lines. You know, there hasn't been that major developments or movement around, but we will look at that. Just for the members of the council, I haven't spoken to the council yet. So if
that's
this
all
is something,
I have.
Okay. So if you have any, if you're interested in on being on this committee, just reach out to me tomorrow and we will figure out a plan of to get this committee formed. Again, I think the goal would
Does
be
anybody have
as least amount of changes as possible. We're going to use the professional information that provides us with that. And then this would eventually come to the council anyway. So council members would have a vote on it as well. So everyone will be involved. We'll also follow any of the laws that are required for this committee and any type of meetings. We will work with Solicitor Walsh and the city solicitor on that as well, to make sure that we have plenty of notice and public input on this as well. So that's all the comments I have. Open up for questions from members of the city council. Okay, seeing no questions, this was not in committee. It was done under unanimous consent. So I would like to offer the opportunity for members of the public if you would like to comment on this. If you do, you can raise your hand at this time. Okay, hearing none, I will entertain a motion if anyone has a motion from the city council. Councilman Howell.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Ricks, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Foley, Councilwoman Travis. Okay, any additional questions or comments from members of the city council? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
And yes, motion passes.
Thank you very much. I just, Solicitor Walsh, did I miss one of the items earlier?
If we could proceed back to PCR 9-22, which was formerly bid 2022-255B, and just re-voted. I'm not sure if our mine and the clerk's notes were synced, so if we could just re-vote it here now, just in case we skipped over it or if we had a miscommunication.
Sure. What number was that again? PCR
9-22, bid 2022-255B, various replacement automotive parts.
Okay. Thank you very much. So this was in Committee of Finance. So Councilman Howe.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any other questions or concerns that weren't asked? Sorry, we skipped over this. Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy? Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes.
Thank you very much, and thank you for clearing that up for us. We are now under unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything to docket under unanimous consent? I think he shook his head no, but just
not under unanimous consent.
Okay. Ward 2, anything under unanimous consent?
Yes.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8?
So, Solicitor Walsh, do we have to mention the ordinance?
If you would like that at the February 7th meeting, you can request that now for second passage on February 7th, PCR 122.
In that case, I'd like to request that PCR 1-22 be included on the docket for unanimous consent at the next meeting.
For second passage?
Yes, please.
And that was originally in ordinance?
Yes.
It's ordinance committee. Ward 9, anything under unanimous consent?
Pass.
Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
Any objections to moving to the docket session? Okay, hearing none, we are now in the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket this evening?
Yes, a resolution in regards to lowering the speed limit on Pleasant View Road from 25 miles an hour to 20. There is a favorable traffic study.
Okay. Public safety. Anything else to docket, Councilman?
Nope.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Yes, Mr. President. I have a resolution to docket to rename Meadow View Avenue.
Okay. Solicitor Walsh, recommendation for renaming a street?
Public safety.
Public safety. Anything else, Councilman Lattiser?
No, sir.
Ward 6.
Yes, I have two, Mr. President. One is resolution in regard to erecting stop signs at Salix, Limestone, and Langley Streets where they interact with Bussneck Road. That's with a traffic study.
Okay, so that would be public safety.
The second one is resolutions in regard to a marked crosswalk and signage to be placed on the south side of Gorton Avenue at the intersection of Bussneck Road. That's got a traffic study also.
Public safety.
Thank you.
City Clerk, you have a question? You have a hand up?
I do. I just need the copies of the docket memos for Councilman Foley and Councilman Lattiser. I do have Councilwoman Travis, though.
All right. We will get those out to you.
Thank you.
So Councilwoman Travis, you're all set with your two?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Ward 7, I have one, is a resolution in regards to erecting a stop sign at the intersection of Harrop Ave and Arnold's Neck Drive. I also have a traffic study with favorable action on that. So we will put that into public safety as well. That's all I have to docket at this time. Ward 8, anything to docket?
No, thank you.
Ward 9?
Nothing for me. Thank you.
All right. I just want to thank everybody before we adjourned. I think this transition went great. We went right back to remote like we had been doing it all this time. Thank you to the city clerk and Joanne and our MIS people and all the directors that participated and helped us at this meeting. We will make an announcement when we get more information for the February 7th meeting. Until then, everybody stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night. Or as you say, stay positive, test negative. Is that what you're
That's right.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Thank
good
you.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.